our seats. As we get ready to hear from the Lord, just a word of warning. I was on a year eight camp this week, and then I got back from no sleep at a year eight camp and hosted a sleepover for my nine-year-old daughter where there were 6 9-year-olds. So, which tells me this message is from the Lord because I am sleep deprived. And I remember someone saying, I think, was it Vicky that said, if it sounds smarter than you, it's probably the Lord. I feel like that every time I speak. So I know that it's from God. So that's awesome. Good clarification for me. Just a few things. Not that Neil wasn't super eloquent with what he said. I love Neil. He did forget, though, to welcome visitors, which is the most important one. So if you're visiting with us... Sorry, I've got the mic now. So if you're visiting with us for the first time, we just want to say a big C3 stand welcome. So yeah, give them a hand. We love having visitors here, so we do not forget to welcome visitors. We love you. Anything else that we didn't understand in those announcements? just to go over it just a little bit. We have our Last Supper. Now, this is the second time we've done this. It was so phenomenal the first time that we were like, we have to do this again. We have the traditional food of the Last Supper, and we hear about the story of Jesus and his journey to the cross, and it's really amazing. So if you do want to come along, make sure you let us know. Plus, we have our Good Friday hour of communion and worship and prayer, and, of course, our Easter Sunday big celebration. And on that, we have baptisms on that day. It's a great time, not just to get baptized, but to come to church. It's always a time where people like to come to church. They don't often come any other time of the year, but they want to come to church on a Sunday. So we want to do our best to welcome them in and to let them know about Jesus in that time. So if you do want to get baptized on that day, we heard Pastor Lisa speak a lot about baptisms last week. So if you want to get baptized, you are meeting in the kids' church just for a little quick little meeting with Pastor Elton, Pastor Lisa. So make sure you go there if you would like to be baptized, even if you just want to ask about it, you're not sure just yet, just go hear about what they've got to say. I'm sure they'll convince you. But just on that, so this runs really well into what I'm speaking about today, which is Palm Sunday, which is so exciting. I'm really glad that I get to speak about Palm Sunday because it means that I learnt more about Palm Sunday. And I think it's so important to really understand the things that we do in church, which is why I loved last week with Pastor Lisa. And that's, I think, the second or third time that she's spoken about baptism. And the goal is to really understand what baptism was and is, and what it is and what it isn't, and to really know, because we can do these things in church, and I think I said this to Pastor Lisa, we can do these things in church and we can be in church for many years and not truly understand the things that we're doing sometimes. But what I love about these guys is they want you to really understand what you're doing, why we do the things that we're doing. And this is why, before I start my official message, but it's all related because it's about Palm Sunday, I wanted to make sure that we understand what Palm Sunday is. Like, what is it? So thank you, Elton and Lisa, for trusting me with this today. It feels like a lot of pressure to be speaking on Palm Sunday leading into our Holy Week. So thanks for giving this opportunity. But what I wanted to just start out with is straight away, I'm just going to read straight from the Bible about Palm Sunday. So straight from the Bible, the scriptures of Palm Sunday and why it's called Palm Sunday, what it is, because I think we can come along and we can hear about Palm Sunday once a year and really leave not kind of knowing what Palm Sunday is. So we're going to, if nothing else, just listen to this part. So at least you can leave knowing what Palm Sunday is, okay? So Matthew 21:1 says, and we're just going to read the first kind of part of this, and then we're going to get into unpacking this a bit more. So as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. Here's the palm part. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Palm branches. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. So they laid cloaks and palm branches as Jesus was entering Jerusalem. Hence, we call it Palm Sunday. Now, they didn't call it Palm Sunday in the Bible. We call it Palm Sunday. I feel like a more appropriate name would be like the triumphant entry of Jesus. And he's probably out there going, guys, I did a lot more than that. There was a lot more than palm branches. And that's what we're going to get into. So Palm Sunday basically marks the beginning of Holy Week. So this is an important day for us as Christians. This marks the beginning, the final stretch of Jesus' journey to the cross. And as we're going to unpack this, we're going to find that it is a story of courage and of sacrifice and of purpose. And I really want you to get that part, that there was a lot of purpose in everything in this. Even though it's not a huge passage, there's a lot of purpose in this journey into Jerusalem. And it's also about how Jesus shows up for us. So I've got, there's kind of three parts or three points to this, and the last one's got like an extended like bonus point as well. So the first one that I wanted to speak about is the cost of walking into Jerusalem that day. And Michaela kind of mentioned this and prayed about this and got us to reflect on this in her worship as well, the cost of that journey into Jerusalem and what that cost Jesus that day. See, I was thinking about this, and I've never been in a situation where I've kind of had to make that kind of decision to walk into what he was walking into that humiliation, into that crucifixion. So I was trying to think about this from Jesus' perspective, which is very hard, being that I've not been in that situation. But what I thought about is this documentary that I watched. I'm a bit of a doco fan. I like crime and natural disasters, which says a little bit about my personality, maybe. Elton watches National Geographic, so much classier than me. But anyway, I was watching this documentary, and it was on the 2005, I believe, tsunamis. So that big tsunami that happened, you should have heard of it, even if you weren't born yet. It was a big natural disaster. It was quite unexpected in that area. And it was, I believe, still the biggest tsunami disaster to date. Over 220,000 people died. The documentary is called Tsunami, Race Against Time or something like that. You should watch it. It's a little plug for you. It was actually Michaela that suggested it to me. She's a doco fan too, and she likes crime, so watch her. But I was watching this three-part series, and it was just phenomenal, like the acts of heroism, the sadness, the people that lost so much in this time. And I was watching this one story, and it was of this man. If I don't get this completely right, there's lots of different stories, so I might connect a few together. Okay, so there was someone who watched a couple, and he went to try and save them because they were holding on to something. He went to try and save them, and they got swept away. And he knew if he jumped in, he'd be gone. And I think later on, this same man saw a child in the waters, in the tsunami waters, and he just thought, I have to get in and save this child. And so he says to the person that he's with, tell my family that I love them. So they were strangers, the child was strangers, and he says, tell my family that I love them. But he just thought in that second, I can't make this decision to not jump in, even though I'm risking my own life jumping into the water. And he jumped in. And I'm pretty sure he survived, which is excellent. Well, he did, because he was talking to me. He was explaining the story. And the child survived, which is just amazing, right? And it's hard to kind of put ourselves in that situation where you are faced with a life or death situation. And I'm pretty sure none of us have been in that situation, or if you have, you survived because you're here. But it's one of those things where I'm just like, oof, I'd like to think that I would be that brave and that I would jump into those floodwaters. If it was my child, yep, I'd jump in. If it was one of you guys, I'm pretty young still. I don't know. I could stand up here and say, yeah, I'd do it for every single one of you. But until you're faced with that situation, you actually don't know. You don't know what you're going to do in that situation, right? So it's hard to imagine what Jesus was doing. But these people that did it, they were praised and they were so heroic. And we're still talking about it today, about these amazing stories that we're listening to, these heroes. And it is amazing. I'm not belittling what they're doing. It's so amazing. But what they were doing was sacrificing themselves against a physical death for other people. But what Jesus did on that day was for eternity. What Jesus was walking into that day was about saving everyone. It was him facing death, him facing sin, taking the cost of all of that on that day. And he did it not in a split second decision. See, these people were facing this storm together, and it was these split seconds decisions that they were having to make. But Jesus did it with purpose, knowing what he was walking into, and knowing that we aren't deserving, knowing that not one single one of us were deserving of what he did that day. And I was just imagining walking towards his own execution that day, knowing what was ahead of him, the kind of courage that would take. And I just really wanted to start with that, kind of imagining what that journey would have looked like for Jesus, imagining how he would have felt in that moment, because he was on earth in a human form. He had the same emotions that we feel today, and he was walking into that. I know that it's really hard to do something for someone when you're like, oh, you're not deserving of this. Like, you're not deserving. Like, it, as humans, we grapple with that, don't we? When we're just like, you need to be helping yourself here. What are you doing? Like, why am I doing this for you again? But he did that. And as Michaela said, he didn't do it with any bitterness or resentment. He did that because he loved us so much. So that's my first point. And that brings me to my second point, which is that Jesus shows up for us. He showed up for us that day. And I think what really struck me in that moment was the purpose that went into it. And so we look at this scripture in Zechariah 9:9. It says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. This was a prophecy of what was to come. So everything that Jesus did was, it had intention. So he didn't just grab that donkey because, you know, he thought, I need to ride in or grab that donkey. He had intention with everything that he did. He had purpose with everything he did. And he showed up for us on that day in Jerusalem to take on that sin. It says, Matthew 21:9 says, "The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven.'" So they were recognizing him that day. They were recognizing the king that was coming. And I love that. So throughout a lot of the Bible, we see Jesus doing all these amazing miracles, but he often says, don't spread the word yet. Don't spread the word yet. Just wait. The time is coming. And he kind of just does things on the down low a little bit. But this was like his mic drop moment, because when he said to them, "Go get the donkeys, and if they question you," I heard someone else speaking about this, and they were like relating it to like go borrow someone's car or just go take someone's car, because it was his donkey, that was their ride. So it was like taking someone's car. And then he was going, "If they question you, tell him, the Lord is here. He wasn't being shy about it anymore. He was saying, I am here. This is the day. This is the moment you've been waiting for. The king has arrived. And so he was like dropping the mic, like it's no more hiding it anymore. I'm not going to walk in quietly and hope they don't see me. No, he's going in with intention. He's grabbing the donkey because that's what he was supposed to do. And he's saying, the Lord is here. The Lord has come. And they've recognized that. And I think this is just so important because it shows how much purpose. It's not that he just stumbled upon his death. He came in with purpose, knowing what was ahead of us. And it just shows that in that moment, he showed up for us. He showed up for us so that we can stand here today and talk about it. And he doesn't just show up for us in the Bible. He shows up for us on a daily basis. I've got this photo that I just want to put up. Oh, there it is. This is just to refocus your attention if you've drifted in any way. What a guy, what a man. This is Pete. This is my husband. For those that don't know him, there he is. This is a long time ago. This is in 2014. And this is proof that I'm not the one that gave him grey hairs. Because we'd been married for 2 years at this stage and he has not got a grey hair in sight. He has a lot now. And that's because we've had kids since then. But also I wanted to show you this photo because for me this is a beautiful memory. And I know it's a terrible photo and Elton's probably analysing everything that's wrong with this photo right now. It's probably got a few filters on there. I don't know where the original is though. But this photo was taken a week after we experienced tragedy in our lives. And I'm not going into that because I want today's focus to be about Jesus. But this was a week after we experienced a really traumatic time in our lives. And you'd think, oh, why show a photo like that? This is only a week's gone by. And it's because this photo really illustrates to me how Jesus shows up in our lives. And when I look at this photo, I get reminded of the poem, and we've all heard the poem, but I'm reading it anyway because it's not very long. And it's one of those poems that I've always read since I was like a teenager and everything was really angsty and emotional, and this makes me cry every time. Now that I've gotten older though, it's just a really beautiful reminder. And so it's Footprints in the Sand. I'm sure everyone's got a picture of it somewhere up in their house because we all did at the time. But it says, one night I dreamt a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to the Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. And he whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never ever, during your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. And I go back to this picture and I think about that time in our lives and I think about how our Saviour gently carried us through, gently gave us peace, gave us courage, gave us the strength when we didn't feel like we could have that strength, because we have a God that shows up for us. He doesn't abandon us when things get tough. He doesn't abandon us in those troubling times, but he is there just gently helping us along. And there's that scripture. In Matthew 11:28-30, it says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, Jesus offers that exchange to us. He offers to take on our burdens. He offers to take on our troubles and he will gently lead us through and carry us through. And when we see this illustration of him showing up for us, it doesn't stop there. He's inside of us and he shows up for us in every situation, in every need that we have. So my question to you today is, what is it that you need God to show up for you for? Show up for you for? Does that make sense? What is it that you need from God right now? Do you need him to be that peaceful carrier of your burdens? Do you need for him to be your restorer? What is it that we need him to show up for us? Now, my last point, and I'm going to get just Michaela up because this isn't the end. I just want Michaela on the keys there. And this is my last point with an extra point at the end. And because I've been so gentle with you up until this point, and you should know me by now, I'm not all that gentle. Because my last point is about you taking some ownership in this. It's about me taking some ownership in this. My last point is about taking our own journey to meet Jesus. Because Palm Sunday isn't just a moment in history. The Bible was written for a purpose. And it's an invitation from God. Jesus didn't enter into Jerusalem for applause. He entered to offer himself. And he wants us to be a part of that. He wants us to lay our lives down for him every day. James 4:8 says, "Come near to God and he will come near to you." He wants us to take intentional steps towards him. And Luke 9:23 says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Just like those people in the tsunami who ran towards danger, Jesus walked straight into the storm of sin and death. But he had an even greater weight than what we could ever imagine. He knew he would suffer. He knew many would reject him, but still he came. So the next part of scripture speaks about what happened after he entered into Jerusalem. It says in Matthew 21:12-17, it says, "Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written," he said, "my house will be called the house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna, son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never heard, from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise?" And then he left and spent the night in Bethany. So he comes into this place, this temple that was purposed for worship, and he sees chaos there. He sees a place that's forgotten its purpose. And the truth is that sometimes Jesus needs to come in and flip some tables and sort some stuff out in us before that healing can come, before that restoration can come. But he's asking for us to meet him where we're at, because he's always there. He doesn't turn his back on us, but it's us that turn our back on him. So is there some things in our lives that we need to lay down before Jesus before we can truly welcome him in? Because if we don't lay down that before Jesus, if we don't take that step and meet Jesus where we're at, what's going to happen when that storm comes? What's going to happen when Jesus doesn't meet our expectations? Because here's the thing. The same crowd that shouted, "Hosanna, the king is here, Hosanna," a few days later turned around and said, "Crucify him, crucify him." the same crowd that was saying, the long-awaited king is here, said, crucify him a few days later. Imagine meeting Jesus, praising Jesus, and then turning your back and saying, crucify him. Why? Why would they have done that? It's because he didn't meet their expectations. Because he wasn't the king they were expecting him to be. It didn't look the way they thought it should look. He came gentle and humble on a donkey. They wanted someone to come on a war horse and overthrow the authority and get physical. But he was this humble, gentle servant, willing to sacrifice himself. And so he didn't meet their expectations. He didn't meet the expectations of their hearts. And so what happens today if he doesn't meet your expectations? If it doesn't look the way you thought it should look? Because let me tell you, while we've had trials of many kinds, he didn't promise us in those moments there would be no more. There is going to be trials. There is going to be storms. And so when things don't turn out the way that you thought they were going to turn out, are you going to be shouting, crucify? Are you going to be turning your back on Jesus? It's easy to follow Jesus when he's answering our prayers, or when things are going well, or when the whole crowd is cheering for him. But what happens when he challenges us? What happens when he starts flipping tables in our hearts and clearing out those things that don't belong? We've heard Pastor Lisa speak about that. That is the same thing that we're saying reflected on the inside of us, because if they're not, it's going to be hard to live in that purpose that we've been given. It's going to be hard to go along with the plans and the purpose he has for us. So what happens when things don't work out the way we thought they were supposed to? He doesn't want us to lay down palm branches and cloaks before him if we're not willing to pick up that cross daily and follow him. That's what he calls us to do, to pick up that cross daily and follow him. He doesn't want us to be fans of him like his celebrity. He wants us to be his disciples. He wants us to be in relationship with him. So we need to ask ourselves, are we followers of Christ because of what he can do for us, or because of who he is? Because yes, he wants to answer the desires of your heart. Yes, he wants you to have a wonderful life, but he also wants you to lay your life down as a living sacrifice for him. He wants you to pick up your cross and follow him daily. So why are we following him? Are we going to worship him only when it's comfortable? Or are we going to get a little bit uncomfortable, like Michaela said before? Would we have stood with that crowd that shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, and then turned around and said, crucify? Or would we have followed him to the cross? Because Jesus doesn't want our praise without a heart willing to follow him every step of the way. So as the band comes up, why don't we stand to our feet? As we're coming to the end of our Lent season, where we've been spending time with God, I know for me, I've been getting up in the morning and going for a walk and putting that worship music on and listening to what God has said. And I just think that this is such a good time for us to really examine the things that are going on in our hearts. As we're coming up to Good Friday and to Easter Sunday, my question to you today is, are there some things that you need to sort out with God? Is there some clutter in your heart that you're thinking, maybe God needs to deal with this morning? Maybe I need to come to the altar and deal with this morning. Or is there something in your life that you're saying, God, I really need you to show up for me right now? Because he's always there. He's always here waiting for us. But what is it that we need to deal with this morning so that we can be full disciples of Jesus? So that we can be full followers of Jesus that are every day picking up that cross and following him? So as the band sing this song, this song's all about, give me Jesus, I don't want anything else. I just want Jesus. I'm going to give you that opportunity this morning just to lay it all down and say, yes, that's all I want this morning. I just want Jesus. Whether that's just to come and praise him this morning, knowing the journey that he's taking, or if you're saying, no, I need him to stand, I need him to show up right now, I need some healing. Or maybe you're that third one that's saying, there's some stuff in my heart that is keeping me from being able to worship him completely. And maybe you don't even know what it is. Maybe you've been trying and trying and trying, but there's just something in the way of that. We're going to give you that opportunity. And you can just come and worship God, or if you want prayer, we're available for that as well. But why don't we just sing this song together? And I really challenge you to examine your heart this morning and see if there's anything that you need to deal with on the altar today. So why don't we sing?
You're more than every dream come true. All of the things I thought I wanted don't come close to knowing. Now that I'm yours and you are mine, our love is a secret that I find. I'll spend forever in the pleasure I found looking in your eyes. Give me
I don't want anyone else. Expecting something, we're not. It's who he is, and he will do us good no matter what. Our hope is in him because of who he is. So take the challenge that God's put before you and look at yourself and just put him first. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow him. Take up your cross and follow him daily. Can be hard. But it's a work of, it's a work in progress, But we need to start to do that. Oh man, I just keep feeling the potential he has for all of us. All of us, every single one of you, no matter what you're feeling, whether you're feeling down on yourself, you're not feeling good, whether you put yourself down, he wants the best for you. Every single one of you is special to him. Every single one of you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is an awesome church, an awesome place to be. Now I've got to work out how to finish off. Okay. Look, thanks, guys. Just have a talk with someone. Did we have visitors, Sky, in the end? We did. Amazing. I'm so sorry, wherever you are. I can't see you. I'm so sorry. I've done that before. Terrible. Anyway, welcome here. Someone will talk to you and welcome you. Have a cuppa. Enjoy the rest of the day. Bless you all. Amen.